your picture wasn't up there, we apologize. Brad did a fantastic job, he and Matthew getting that together. They pulled it from our church directory, and we made pictures. If you are here and you are would like to have your picture in our, if you have a smartphone or regular phone, not a flip phone like some people have, but if you have that, Ms. Trudy can show you how to put that app on there, and it has all of our church family and their addresses and contact information. And she would be glad to add you to that if you wanted her to make a picture or if you wanted to submit a picture. I guess she could do that if you had one you want to give her. But if your picture was up there, it doesn't mean that we don't love you and that you're not a blessing, that you're not part of that hero. But Brad mentioned to me that that's the ones he was able to pull from. And I thought he did a great job. And I want to say thank you again for all of you. I love you. And I'm so glad what God's done for all of us here. Homecoming, amen, 2021. And I appreciate, again, all of our guys who work with the E-team and Melissa who does the camera and all the rest of you, because you are friends who are at home watching us now, and I know that they were able to see that. When we did that director, a lot of people were not able to come, couldn't get the appointments worked out or whatever, but please have your name added and your picture added, and we thank you for doing that. Amen. What a blessing. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I want to read one verse this morning, and then I'm going to share a few things with you. And again, we encourage you to pray for John, for Angie, and the family. And Tim's going to come at the end and share a little further information and also something about Judgment House. Pray much for Judgment House. I apologize. I've got a little frog or something this morning, but I'll be fine. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 9. After this manner, pray therefore ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One verse, our Father, which art in heaven. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help me today. And God, I'm thankful for these years that you've allowed me to be here and for my family, and God, for all the blessings that these friends that were pictured and all of these here in the building and so many, our Father, that are watching by internet, and Lord, all the family of God, but especially our friends here at Benson Grove. Lord, we thank you for them today. And God, we know that every one of them would be here were they able. And God, I pray, God, that you just bless them and touch them. And God, I am more thankful that not only is this homecoming a happy time and every homecoming, Lord, there is another homecoming, and it'll be when we are where our Father's at in heaven. And I pray, God, this morning you'd help me. God, speak to hearts. God, I pray, Father, the Holy Ghost of God to take over. I do want to thank you for the Bible study hour with Brother Barry this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that you'd bless him and Miss Francis, for all the Sunday school teachers and workers, and God, for the Awana workers on Wednesday night, and then for every person who's involved in Judgment House, and God, for the upcoming Judgment House. I pray, God, that you'd keep everybody well and safe. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, would bless. I pray, God, that through the presentations, that God, you put a hedge around this place, and God, keep people safe. But more than anything, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to bring conviction, and that souls will be saved and lives will be changed through Judgment House and through all the outreach ministries of Awana and Sunday School and the Highway Shepherd Ministry and the E-Team Ministry, and God, through the preaching in this pulpit. I pray, God, Lord, hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Holy Ghost this morning. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you know there are several things I like to do besides preach. I like to preach so like my wife likes to shop. Jimmy Harrison used to say, I like to preach all day long. Amen. I love to be around the house of God. I love to be around people of God. And here and anywhere else the Lord lets me go, I'm thankful for that. I do love the fish. I don't go a whole lot as much as I would like to. I'd plan to. But next year, I'm going to go fishing every Tuesday. But anyhow, I'm thankful for those things. I enjoy those things. I like to go to junk sales. I'm not much on antique, but I love junk. But I love that. But I love to read. And if I go in the flea markets or anywhere else. I'm always looking for old books, Christian books, but just I love old books and any book. But while I was out in Wyoming this last time, me and our family, we went through the Wind River Indian Reservation. That's the reservation for the Shoshone Indians. And if there was a piece of land that our government back in those days gave to the Native Americans, and by the way, you know it, and I won't go politically on you, but this morning, if there's been a group of people in all the whole world that have ever been abused and mistreated, it was the Native Americans of America. And they were slaughtered. When the white men came here, there were herds of buffalo, they said, that would take 5 days to go by. Elk everywhere, deer everywhere. And there were thousands and thousands of Native Americans. And yet they didn't destroy them. They harvested them for their meals, and they used every piece of those animals. They believed that was provided for them, and they took care of all of that. And all that changed when white men came. But at any rate, I'm thankful. But we stopped in the Wind River Reservation. There's a little store there that's run by Shoshone Indians, and a gift shop and such as that. And I found a book, and it's about a preacher. His name is Reverend Roberts. John Roberts is his name. He was an Episcopal, but way back many years ago, it wasn't a whole lot of difference. There were a little difference in the way churches were structured and things went, but the message pretty much in Methodist or Episcopal, anybody, was, and Baptist was the same. Jesus Christ died for your sin, you're lost, you need to be saved. And so back in 1883, John Roberts, as a 23-year-old man, was sent out to that area where the Wind River Reservation is at in Wyoming to reach and minister to the Shoshone Indians. At some point in time, after some years, the government decided they would put the Arapaho on there, and they took part of the land that we'd given to the Shoshones to give it to the Arapaho, and that caused some conflict. And we think in perspective that things were a long, long time ago, but he went out in 1883. He died in 1949. But when he got out there as a young 23-year-old man, the only way, there were hardly no roads, and not a whole lot now in Wyoming, but there were hardly no roads at all. But you had along those trails, you had little stations where the stagecoach went, and about every 20 miles or so, there'd be a little place that you could stop, kind of like a rest area, and maybe get a meal or sleep or whatever. But when John Roberts got out to Wyoming, he went to the agency, to the Indian agency, where the government had their little headquarters at. Eventually came Fort Washakie. But anyhow, that's where he went to initially. But from there, it's probably 150 miles or so to where he wanted to go in to work in the reservation with the Indians. The only problem was there was no means of transportation. It was winter in Wyoming. It was 30 below zero. But people had died out in that. It was just unusual even for them, for the long period of time, the cold. And there'd been many funerals. Matter of fact, as a young man, while he was there at the agency, he did the funeral for several people who had frozen to death. But that old saying of mail people, Sherry and all those who work with the Postal Service, rain, sleet, or snow, the mail must go through. And so there was a postman who was going to go into the center of the reservation to deliver some mail to some whoever there, military people, whatever. And so John Roberts asked if he might go. I've got in the book, it's got a picture. There's a little wooden sled, it's not as large as our Lord's Supper table there, that he hauled the mail in, and then he had a team of animals to pull it. And so he said, if you want to go, you get a lot of cover and everything else. And so it took them several days to ever make that trip. And he said in the book that he survived by shoveling snow out from in front of the sled. That's how he stayed warm so they could make their journey. Long story short is he made it. And began to work among those Indians, befriend them. It took a long, long time before they would ever even let him have any kind of service. And the first services he had at a chief's home or a teepee. And so the chief had his family and some others, and God just orchestrated all that because he had influence. And so the process began like that, very simply, and just little basic things. And he had, of course, learned the language by then, and he did everything in Shoshone of their language. And so at some point in time, there were a few of those Indians who had believed on the Lord, and they were beginning to learn. They had picked up some English from other military people and traders and so on. But they learned that language, learned a little bit of the English. So he got two of those Indians, Shoshone Indians, to help him to translate portions of Scripture and everything else. And I read a chapter while we were just up with our Regina sister on a little trip up to Pennsylvania last week. I was reading this morning that book. And I had got to the point where he was trying to translate Scripture, and those Indians were helping him. And ironically, the Shoshones did not even have a written language, so it was all oral. And so, but when it came time to translate certain words, they didn't have a word for it. And here's the words, and I thought it just interesting. I just read you one of those words, "Hallowed be thy name," in that passage of Scripture down there. The Lord's, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Back in verse 9, "Hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed means holy, set apart. They didn't have a word for holy or set apart. That was not even in their vocabulary. They didn't have a word for the word Spirit, because that wasn't in their vocabulary. They didn't know anything about the Spirit. Certainly not the Holy Spirit. They had no word for sin because they didn't have that concept of sin. I'm sure they had a concept of what's right and what's wrong, and if you do this, you punished, or if that, you know, they eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, that type of thought. But the idea of sin, they didn't have a word for sin, because you see, sin, you sin against people, but primarily sin's against God. And so they didn't have any concept of their sin against God. And then they didn't have any concept, they had no word for the word forgiveness. They didn't know anything about forgiveness. And here's the one that really got my heart. They had no word for heaven, because they didn't know anything about heaven. And I thought about the years after years after years, generation after generation of Shoshone Indians, and not only those Indians, but all the rest of them, who didn't even have the word heaven in the vocabulary. No word for heaven. How would you explain heaven to somebody who knew nothing about heaven? How would you explain heaven to somebody who didn't even have a word in their spoken language for heaven? Well, God began to deal with my heart. And my heart broke for them way back then in the 1800s that they didn't even know the word heaven. They didn't have any concept of it. And I began to look through my Bible, and I began to find some things. I'm going to share these with you real quickly. We won't have time to turn to them. But if you didn't have a word called heaven, that means Brad was teaching this morning about the tomb and about the stone and about the body. She was thinking in the physical realm, Mary was. Well, that's the way they thought. The sin and forgiveness and heaven, they had no concept of. But I am sure glad that I have a word for heaven. I thank God. What would it be like if you had been raised and lived in a society where there's nothing about heaven? Most of you who may not even be saved, listen to me in the media or in this building, you may not know Christ, you may not be saved, you may not even want to go to church, you may not believe anything, but you do know this, if there's a heaven, a hell, you want to go to heaven because you've heard enough about it. But to live in a society where there was no word for heaven, what would you miss? Well, in the first place, I found this in Job chapter 22 and verse 12. They would miss the concept of this, that heaven is the residence of God and our Creator. It is where God lives, in that heaven, that third heaven Paul talked about. Job saw that in Ecclesiastes, Solomon saw it, Deuteronomy, Moses saw it, in the book of Psalms, David certainly saw it over and over again, that concept of heaven where God lives. Heaven's where God lives. That's where the God who created everything, the one who fashioned everything in this world, lives in a place called heaven. And God, the Father, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." He lives in heaven. It's the abode of God. Second, I found this. If you had no concept of heaven, there'd be nowhere for you to look for help. David said in Psalm 73, "I look unto the Lord for my help. I look to heaven for my help. I look to heaven, to the Lord who's in heaven for my help." There comes a time in every one of our lives when we get to the place when we just don't know what to do. But having a concept that there's a place not here in this earth, but somewhere that we've never seen, but we know there's a place called heaven. We know there's a God there who's the Creator God. And we do know this, that He can help. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. We come to Him not in a sense of hopelessness, but in a sense of helplessness. Because as long as you believe there's a heaven, you believe there's a God, there's hope. But to live where there's no word for heaven, it means you have no hope. There's nobody that you can go to. There's no God in heaven. There's no place called heaven that you can look for your help. Third thing, in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord said to Moses, "I have talked with thee from heaven." If there's no concept of heaven, then there's no assuring words that ever come from heaven. And I'm thankful that this morning I can tell you there's a heaven, because one in heaven has spoken to my heart, and He spoke to my heart several days ago when I was reading that little book about heaven, and they had no word for heaven, but I knew there was a heaven because this book tells me about heaven. And I know that He's there, and I know that He's Creator God, and I know that He can help me, and I know that He'll speak to me as He spoke to Moses through His book from heaven. He'll speak to me. But if you don't know there's a heaven, you don't believe it, you'll never hear that word from heaven. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 13, I found this wonderful passage of Scripture. Moses is given charge to his people, but to one he said this, that God bless him with those precious things from heaven. Heaven is a place where there are precious things. He said this, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory, which is heaven, by Christ Jesus." The precious things, everything that you've ever received in your life, a blessing, it came out of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, if there's no word for heaven, there's no place where you receive the precious things of heaven. They don't ever come to you, but I'm glad there is a place called heaven. And in that place in glory, according to His riches in glory, His riches in heaven, He can provide all of your needs and bless you. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, if there's no word for heaven, there's no promise of blessing to be poured out. He said, if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. But if you don't know a heaven, if you don't have a word for heaven, no word for heaven, then there's no way you'd ever receive those blessings poured out from heaven. And can I tell you, in these years that I've known Christ and all my family, we've loved the Lord, and through God's people and every other way, God's opened the windows of heaven many, many times and poured out blessings on me. I'm thankful there is a place called heaven. I'm thankful that out of heaven, He opens the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And what it means to this, you can't receive it. It means it's just overflowing, more than you can contain. And thank God, I pray for that rapturous experience for all of us, that God, the Holy Ghost, would rend the heavens and open the windows of heaven. And as He poured out the floodwaters, that He pour out the floodwaters of the Holy Spirit of God in these days, that we might experience Him. Oh, if there's no word for heaven, there's no promise, there's no open windows for blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, if you have no word for heaven, there's no place for your inheritance to be secured. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said this, we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. You may be putting your money in real estate or stocks or whatever, and the whole economy could collapse and you lose everything. But there's a place in heaven where He keeps the inheritance of the saints of God. And He said it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, it's reserved for you in heaven. But if you have no word for heaven, you have no assurance of all of that that blessing of God. But if you know Christ in Him, you have that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. No word for heaven. Wow. Would it be something if you didn't even know the word heaven? If you didn't even know there was such a thing as heaven? You may not experience all the blessing. You may not know Christ, but at least you know there's hope as long as there's a heaven. Thank God there is heaven. And thank God He does open the windows. And there is a place that He reserves all of our inheritance. John chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. The Lord said, I'll send you fresh bread from heaven. I'm glad for this book. I'm glad it's an old book. And I use that term, and then the Holy Ghost correct me one day. This is not an old book. This is His eternal word. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It means it doesn't ever get old. He doesn't ever age. It doesn't ever change. This is not an old book. This is an eternal word of God. It never changes, never changes. I thank God that it's real. And I thank God He said this. When heaven, there's fresh bread, the Lord said from heaven. His word, my friend, is forever ever settled in heaven. In Psalms 14, verse 22, David said this. He looks down from heaven on us. I'm glad that there's a heaven. If you didn't have a word for heaven, you wouldn't know there's a God, not only the Creator God, but He didn't create this thing and wind it up like a wind-up toy and leave it alone. He's watching us. He's looking at you every day. He said, my God knows what things you have needed before you ever ask Him. I'm glad He's watching. He said about the temple, He said, my eyes will be upon this place. My ears open to prayer made in this place. And on Monday night, when these guys come together to pray, or when you pray everywhere you are, I want you to know He hears you, but He sees you. I'm glad He looks at us. And if you don't have any word for heaven, then you don't know there's somebody who cares about you. You don't know there's somebody who's watching you, somebody who's taking care of you. My wife and I, with having children and grandchildren, it just drives us crazy sometimes when we're out and we see parents that got little kids and they're right at the roadside and a little kid and mom and dad's talking, you know, or smoking a cigarette or whatever, and this little big kid, just running around, how quick they could just dart out in front of a car. I mean, just a matter of a few steps and they'd be in the roadway. And you just get older, you get to think about things like that. And I said, they're not watching. They're not even watching the children. But I can tell you right now, there's somebody watching you from heaven. I'm saying He's watching not just because He's curious, but because He cares about you. He's like that shepherd that watches after his sheep and watches for danger and watches every need you have. I'm glad there's a place called heaven. Oh, they had no word for heaven. And if they didn't have a word for heaven, they did not know that there was somebody watching them. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27 and Mark chapter 13, verse 20, He said, I'll send power from heaven. If you don't have any concept of heaven, then you don't have any concept of the power that's there. I'm telling you right now, it's powerful. It's powerful. Down at Roanoke Rapids years ago, they built the hydroelectric dam that backed up Lake Gaston, and then there's others up the chain. But boy, that rushing water through there, when they open those gates and turn those turbines, it lights up all the whole city of Roanoke Rapids out of that one little place. Right where that water flows through at. Where the water flows through at, there's power. And it'll light up the whole city. And He said, there's a place in heaven. And He said, I'll send my power out of heaven. And it's not a hydroelectric dam up there. It's not a nuclear plant up there. It is the power of an awesome, holy God that He'll send down. And that power will light up a city. It'll light up a soul. It'll light up a church. And I'm glad I know where there's a heaven. And I know there is a heaven. And out of heaven, there comes the power of God. I'm glad of that. I'm glad there's a place called heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. I'm glad there is a place called heaven. They didn't have a word for heaven, no word for heaven, but I have the word, and I know it. I know I'm saved. I know heaven's my home. Some of you don't know that, but I'll just tell you what heaven is. What is heaven? It's where the saints of God who've gone on reside. And reading that book and other chapters, they had a concept that there must be some afterlife, but they didn't know what to call it. They didn't know how to describe it. The Shoshone said, it is a land beyond the setting sun. I kind of like that myself. I don't know why, I like that concept. It is a land beyond the setting sun. That means there's a land on the other side of when the lights go out down here, the lights come up over there. And tell you what they do. They have an Indian to die. and they take his horse and they shackle him. And this kind of gross, some of you, animal rights, but they would strangle him, they'd kill him, and they'd bury him with the Indian, with his horse. And they said, it's for the land beyond the sunset. That's the land beyond that sunset, that he needs a horse. Oh, I wish they'd have known about heaven, because they know that heaven is a place where those who've gone on live, in a place called heaven. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 talks about the whole family of heaven. Heaven's a family. That's a singular word there, the heaven, the family of heaven. When they get there's not a Baptist there, there's not a Methodist there, not an Assembly of God there. They're saints. It's a family, one family. And thank God heaven's a place where our loved ones are at. They're not in the ground. They're not in land just on the other side of the sunset. They're in a place called heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8 says this, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Thank God that heaven is a place where our loved ones are now. That's a great assurance in death. When children die, and does it hurt any less? No. And will you weep yourself to sleep many, many a night? Yes. But to know they're well, to know they're with God, to know that they'll be there when we get there. Heaven, boy, what a blessing to know there's a place called heaven. How would it be to live your life and have no word for heaven? No word for heaven. Oh, listen, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, it's a place where all the names of the righteous are written. He told his disciples who came back rejoicing, they had great power. He said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In heaven. Up in Washington, there's the monument to Vietnam veterans, and rightly so. Their names are inscribed there. People travel for miles and miles, and I've seen them with a piece of paper, and they're going over it, highlighting it, and they hunt for their son or their grandson, son or whoever, their husband, wife maybe, they try to find their name written there. But I'm going to tell you, there's a place in heaven where it has the names in the register of all those who are saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm on that register. I'm glad I'm there. But the sad thing about it, there's another verse in the Bible that says, and whosoever's name was not found written there was cast into the lake of fire. Your name may be on the Methodist church, Baptist church, or any other church, but that's not so important as it is that name be written in heaven on that register, the Lamb Book of Life. Know it's there. I tell you, heaven's the place where the names of all the redeemed are written. Not only that, but it's the place from which he comes for his bride. 1 Thessalonians said the Lord himself should ascend from heaven. He's coming back out of heaven. Revelation said he looked and said, there's a door open in heaven, and he came out and he cried, come up hither. That's the rapture of the church. My friend, heaven's a place where he's coming back from to rapture his church out. Thank God, it's a real place. It's a real place. And here's how you live. You live every day expecting him to come. Live every day faithful to him, believing he's going to come. This could be the day. He could come today. Heaven could open. The door could open. He could say, come up hither today. And we live with that hope. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing if today he came? And for us, there'd be no more COVID, no more sickness. What a blessing that would be. And lastly, I say this to you this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's heaven, or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am there, you might be also. Heaven is where we're going to go to spend eternity. David described it like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know I've told you this many a time, but when I think about that concept, it just blows my mind. I can't understand forever, can you? I told Regina, I come to church this morning, I said, it seems like forever since last Sunday for me, you know. But forever, forever, forever to be in His presence, forever to be blessed, forever to be with your loved ones. No more sickness, no more sighing, no more crying. Psalm 16 and verse 11, there's a place where there's the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I don't understand forever. I don't understand the house of the Lord. I've seen some beautiful homes. I've been in the Biltmore House and all those things. I've been in castles in Germany. I've seen beautiful, beautiful homes. But imagine what that place is like. To imagine what heaven is like. There's no way to comprehend it. My dear friend, it's real. And I'm glad I have a word for heaven. I'm glad I've lived and God let me live in a place where I knew from the time I was a little boy, there was a heaven. We had a word for it. But there's some people who have no word for heaven. What a sad situation. But heaven, I can't understand the house of the Lord. I can't understand forever. But there is one word I can understand in there. It's the word dwell. Because it says Abraham dwelt in tents. It means he lived in a tent. It meant when he was out there in the desert doing whatever he was doing, all the same, when he came home at night, he rested and was refreshed and blessed because he dwelt there. That was home. And can I tell you, there is a word for me and for you for heaven. You know what it is? It's home. This is homecoming. But honey, there's going to be a better one than this one. It's going to be a homecoming when we get to go home to be with the Lord. When he comes back for the church and takes all those who are saved out of here, and we get to be with our loved ones, meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Heaven is home for me and you. But it's not for those who don't know Christ. He said, you pray like this, our Father. Is He your Father? Have you been born again? Have you experienced that birth to where you become? Being born in human race doesn't make you a Christian. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. And you get born again, not by the will of the flesh or anything else, but by the will of God, the Father. Will you come to Him and trust Him this morning? And for those of you who are saved, I'm going to tell you, heaven's a real place. Just live in that reality. Tell others about Him. Point them toward heaven. And just look forward to that day. And every time you have an ache and a pain, you just tell that pain, you'll be gone one of these days, and I'm going to still be here. I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity. You don't get to go to heaven with me. Cancer, you don't get to go to heaven. Heart trouble, you don't get to go to heaven. Arthritis, you don't get to go to heaven. Blindness, you don't get to go to heaven. Lameness, you don't get to go to heaven. COVID, you don't get to go to heaven because there's no sickness there, no sorrow there, no sadness. And you and I'll be at home for all eternity. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Brad's going to come and sing a song for us this morning. I'm going to let you, if you will, just stand for a few moments. He'll sing the song in just a minute. While you're here this morning, Charles sang a great song. God laid a great song in his heart, coming back to the heart of the matter of worship. Maybe there's some of us who know him, know we're saved, know heaven's our home, but we haven't been as faithful to the house of God or to the things of God, or maybe just a little something you're not worshiping like you were. I pray God the Holy Ghost will speak to our hearts this morning. Maybe you want to come just say, Lord, send me some of that fresh bread from heaven. God, send it out of heaven. Send out of heaven that power. Send me that power out of heaven. Lord, open the windows of heaven. Pour out that blessing on me. God, give me those precious things out of heaven. Lord, speak to me out of heaven. Maybe you're a Christian. You might want to just get closer to Him. If you're not saved this morning, I tell you, He'll save you. If you'll come, take a step of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn in your heart to the Savior and call out to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll ask Him right now, receive Him right now, He'll come in. I invite you to come around this altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, help you in any way, we'll do that. But if you want to be saved, you want to go to heaven, I invite you to come right now. Let's just pray together. We'll remain in an attitude of prayer while folks already started coming. I want you to hear this song. Father,
I pray you'll do now what I can't do. I pray, God, you convict of sin, righteousness, judgment, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And I pray, God, that God's people respond. Lord, help us leave here rejoicing. Help us leave here that, God, we've had fresh bread from heaven. Help us to leave here, Lord Jesus, knowing that we've experienced that the rushing mighty wind from heaven. Help us to know that, God, you poured out a fresh touch on us. And we'll leave here right with you, worshiping you, praising you. And God, I'll thank you. God, speak to hearts now. Help people to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. And I pray they'll trust Christ if they're not saved.